Remember to speak up so that your comments will be audible on the recording. Okay, the topic you've been asked to discuss concerns ethnic, racial, or gender-specific organizations. Do the presence of such organizations in the school promote segregation? Do you have other ideas for reducing segregation within the student body?
I think that, of course, they promote segregation, but I think that word in and of itself has a negative connotation. I don't like using that word, self-segregation, as far as those kind of clubs go, but which people who don't fit the status quo or the majority feel comfortable, where they can go and be themselves and talk the way they want to talk and share an identity that they may or may not have to hide throughout the day in a different context.
Yeah.
And so I think segregation is the word. Yes, they do it, and I think it's okay.
I do too, because I think that, and so much of your experience is based on like the whole world, and like how you, you know, talk to everyone in the world. But then, if you really want to talk about your specific, you know, college or life or whatever, if you're around people who are experiencing something that's more similar to you, I think that like talking to them about it makes it easier to understand and like makes it. I just think you can relate to them a little bit better.
I think segregation makes me think maybe like a negative connotation, but like, I mean, I agree that it's segregated, but in a sense, it's where you go to feel comfortable, and that's what I, like with what Hannah just said, if that's what you're going to have to do to be able to get along or to get to where you want to be comfortable in life, you're going to have to find somewhere where you can be comfortable first among people that you're comfortable with, and then you can take that outside of segregation. So I agree that they are healthy.
I think the only negative aspect I can think of is that when those types of groups are prevalent on your campus,
inclusive,
that number one, I think people view them as a reactionary thing, like, well, they couldn't fit in, so they decided to make this club. And that's not, I guess maybe that's not the best perception for others to have. And kind of related to that, the second thing is that if you want to bring other people into that group, it's your responsibility then for you to reach out. Like, you can't expect the majority who's not included in your quote-unquote self-segregated club to want to be part of it. Like, after you decide to start that, you know, this gender group or this, you know, sexual preference group or this ethnic group, it then becomes your responsibility to be like, okay, hey, you guys, you're welcome too. Come on, come to our meeting.
Keep it motivated.
Yeah, which is kind of uninspired, and it kind of sucks, but I guess it just comes with, that's just what happens when you decide to start that kind of group. Like the BSA, for example. I think a lot of people have a problem with, number one, with the fact that it is Black Students Association. Uh-huh. If it's Black students, then that means we can't come.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just the context in which a lot of African-American students feel very comfortable and they talk about issues that are important to them
uh-huh.
that they may or may not be able to address during the day. But if you ever want anybody else to come, what did you do? Put up flyers.
Right.
Send out emails.
Right.
That's why, you know, no one's ever coming. You know, hey, what's the next BSA meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that's just, I guess, the exclusionary element.
Being segregated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with Foster, because
yeah,
I don't think that Foster is form on sexuality to encourage sex.
Okay.
And, like, I don't think that we're at the point yet, like, at Rhodes, where we can have a group just for gay people to talk about, like, what it's like to be gay at Rhodes, because I don't think there are enough people who are out and comfortable. So the way that we make Foster, like, open for everyone is kind of a way of trying to get people to come in who aren't so comfortable yet being,
mm-hmm.
you know, just saying, hi, I'm gay and I'd like to be in your club, you know, but still at the same time, like, we have to be open, we have to invite everybody, you know, and I'm
make
all for that. Because, you know, if you say, well, we're going to only let gay people in, like, people always say, well, that's just like straight people saying gay people can't come. And
right.
I understand that, but at the same time, there is something that
is going to separate you.
And there is, there is something that I can get out of talking to other gay people at Rhodes, you know, who kind of understand, like, or who kind of are dealing with the same stuff, you know, and I'm not saying that straight people's or whatever people's opinions aren't as important as, you know, other gay people's, but, you know, sometimes I do just like talking to gay people about it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so it's like,
it's an opportunity for you to be able to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And so the question is, needing that to be comfortable, is that hindering your interaction with everybody else?
Well, no, because that's who you interact with all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Because this is set aside specifically for that, and it's like all the other times in, you know, your daily experience, you are talking to everyone, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's your time to be inclusive in your own groups? Like, so do you feel like it's not hindering you because that's something that you set aside?
Like, I can't just walk into one of my classes.
It's an advantage, not a disadvantage.
Right, and like, I can't just walk into my classroom and say, well, I felt discriminated against because I'm gay, you know?
Yeah.
Not everybody will understand that. I can't just bust out into, like, any kind of group of people.
Yeah.
But I can talk to them about other stuff, you know, that doesn't have to do with that. You know, it's, like, regular. Right. You know, stuff that everybody's in concern with. And so, you know, but I can in the, you know, meetings that we have.
Okay, well, I have a question.
Okay.
What about groups that are not based on racial differences, gender differences, lifestyle
like
differences?
Sororities?
Like sororities? Exactly what my position is, just because I feel like, I don't know, I don't feel like I have to defend it at all. It's just like, it seems to me, I do agree that sororities are definitely different than basing an organization on, like, issues or needs or, but it's also a comfort zone, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
The reason that you would become involved with Greek life is because, you know, you need to find somewhere to fit. And, like, I know we were talking about this the other day, and you made a really good point that, like, that's what people do to be able to get their groups and get their cliques and get their whatever. And I think that sororities are just all about a comfort zone. And I don't know if that hinders. I think sororities do hinder, though, a lot. Like, I think Greek society, I don't think it's based, like, the way that people perceive it, I don't think it's very good at all because it is very exclusive. You know, and it's not like, come join our club, we'll let you be in, we want to invite you, da-da-da-da. It's like, people do get cut, and people do get left out, and people do get jostled around. It's just, like, that's why it's different.
Well, maybe independents have I don't want to speak both of us or everybody, but maybe I have such, I don't want to say negative, I have a standoffish perception of sororities just because I don't know what qualifies. I don't know if I'll qualify. I don't, it's like so mysterious, you know, I can only base the qualifications on physical appearance, like what I see. So, okay.
Right.
So they're, you know, so if you run down the list of what a sorority girl is, those are all things that I'm not. So is that why I'm not in? Or,
yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, my perception is thrown off because I don't know.
Yeah, because they don't give off a very good, because the only perception that you're getting is that they base everything on what you look like in a checklist of A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. So, I don't know. I think that it's given a negative connotation just because so many people do join it, do become involved in Greek life for the wrong reasons. Because they, and like, with you, I see you as an independent. I don't see, like, I see a lot of people as needy at first. Like, I think it gradually becomes something different, but in the beginning, it's more of like an independence and dependence thing.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying because I think that a lot of it, you know, when I first got to Rhodes and I thought, when I first got to Rhodes, I was like, sororities, I can't believe anyone would join a sorority. That's so stupid. That's so, like, just, I mean, how can you, like, say, you're not cool enough to be in our club, you know? How can you judge a person like that? And then, you know, going through my years, I started thinking about it. Somebody pointed this out to me and said, how is an athletic team different than a sorority? And I started thinking about that, and I've really been thinking about it for a while. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, you're playing sports with people who you have something in common with, you know, like we all have volleyball in common, you know, so like that's what we do, and we play volleyball, and so that's how we got on this team, you know, and in a lot of ways, the people that we spend as much time with become our friends. It's, you know,
right.
We do make friends, you know, this way.
Right, that's how we're brought
And together. I think, and we have tryouts. We cut people who aren't good enough to be on the team, you know, because they can't do anything.
We recruit,
like, because they can't, you know, people who don't have the talent to keep up with the team won't do anything for the team, so, you know, we cut them. And sororities, I cannot figure out what it is to me that's different in cutting someone because they're not, because their personality isn't good enough, you know? And I don't,
yeah,
and there's not a difference.
Skill, it's based on.
But why is it different, though?
Again, I say, and this is what, and I use this example when people ask me why I'm not in a sorority.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my problem is being affiliated with a group that I cannot actively, constantly contribute to. The volleyball team is good, and I'm good. The volleyball team is bad, and I'm bad.
Mm-hmm.
If we suck, I suck. If I had a good game, we had a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm constantly contributing. You know, even if I'm on the bench, just the fact that I'm part of the team, there's some work, some physical exertion, some emotional, you know, some kind of investment I'm making.
It's not just the name of the team.
Right, but if I'm affiliated with a group that's beyond me, which I feel, I mean, mean, I'm not shouting your business or anything,
yeah.
but it seems like you would just be overwhelmed by the fact that once you get initiated, you are that sorority.
Label.
Mm-hmm. And you can't... I just don't know enough about it, maybe, but you can't contribute to that. There's an institution already in place, you know, a profile already in place, perceptions already in place, and you just kind of go along. You buy the license plate, you get the umbrella, you get the t-shirts, the mugs, and that's it. That's who you are. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's who you are generally, though. I know we're talking generally in...